And June, of course, had concerns about the money they're throwing into our building. And I told him then, I'll tell him in front of you guys, this is a mutual blessing. And if we were to have this place, may the Lord fill it for his glory and fill it with his people. May he fill it with use for the kingdom. And we do all kind of crazy things here. And it's a good thing, though, because we get people to come here and we share with them. And so they've got a great ministry, and we're excited they're here. And I'm telling you, we'll be here as long as the Lord will have us. And we'll make sure that as brothers, we'll take care of each other. And should something happen, I promise you, we're not here to take advantage because we're in the same family. So yeah, we finished 1 Kings. That was exciting. My tradition, my history, my whatever you want to call it is Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. I tried to pick a smaller book in the New Testament because I wanted to get back to 2 Kings. And then Mark influenced me by showing us a video on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So I decided to go to 1 John. The Bible Project had a great video, and it's kind of helped me frame some thought, because at first glance, the Bible Project's correct. You first read this book, you're like, he is all over the place. But if you have ADHD like me, you're like, you follow right along. You're like, this is great. This is exactly how I think, from here to there and back. But the book really is divided into different things. God is the God of light. He's the God of love. And what does it mean to fellowship in light? And what does it mean to fellowship in love? And those are the themes that come around and around and around in the book. I did want to say one more thing. June threw me off. I didn't know who was coming tonight. I wanted to say thank you to Convicted Printing for the conversations we're having at Madison Middle School now, because for years I've been trying to get any school that I work at to use Convicted Printing. And so finally last year we used you guys for something, and I'll never forget the media specialist was in my office and said, oh, you're looking for shirt people? Convicted Printing are your people. And she goes, are they convicts? Then they bought a new business called Integrity. I think they were tired of being called convicts. I have no idea. But the new assistant principal came in this week, and so the principal wants us all to have polos so we can look fancy like the other schools. And I said, I got a group. They're called Convicted Printing. And the assistant principal goes, convicts? To which then I had a conversation that convicted means something else. Convicted means I'm set on something. Like I have a conviction. I want to change something. I want to do something. These guys want to change human trafficking. These guys want to change lives. These guys want to change lives of Satanists. What? I go, yeah, they're in deathcore metal bands and they play Christian songs, but they hang out with Satanists too. What? I would like to visit this strange church. I said, all right, come and visit. To which then the conversation turned, well, I guess if there are Satanists, they really do need the church to show them the truth. Yeah. That was from a lost person, by the way. It's a lost person. So there's this great big buzz at school about Convicted, and I'll talk to you guys more because I think we want to do some more with you guys, just not even for our sake, but to get you guys known because of what you're doing. So I'm just grateful that happened because it's been a long, I tried at Edison, got shot down. I tried at Madison for years, and now I'm just excited that we're getting to share your ministry. And people are going, wow. And they love to see the pictures of these guys and go, are you sure they're not convicts? People who love Jesus look like that? Yeah, they do. I'm not saying much, but if you ever looked at any movie depictions, they look like those guys a little bit more than they look like me. So we're in 1 John, as I said. He's got these two really big themes, and the theme of fellowship and light, because God is light, and fellowship and love. And in all of it, the really big theme is fellowship, and it's really about the church. And the early church, we know that the author's John, and we believe this is probably whether 1, 2, and 3 were in that order. I don't know how they got lumped in that order. We believe these are the last writings of the New Testament. And usually we think Revelation, this is actually written after Revelation. It's written by John in Ephesus. And I don't know what I want to say about that other than it was written late, about 100 maybe even AD. John, we know, or if you don't know, now you know, was actually one of the younger disciples. He was probably a teen when he was found, his brother James and John. Something that was kind of cool, we know that there's three big apostles that wrote a lot of the New Testament for us: Peter, Paul, and John. And when you look at them, they all have a kind of a little bit of different ministry. And this is a little bit of a stretch, but I read it from Ray Steadman, and I was like, that's kind of cool. And here's a little bit of the stretch, but I do see the truth that their ministries were a little different. The first is this. Peter was called when he was casting the net to get fish, and he was called to be a fisherman of men. And Peter's kind of the first starter, right? Peter is the one upon the confession which the church will be started. Peter's the one that when Jesus comes back and he's fishing again, throw the nets on the other side, and he pulls up the great harvest, and he says, if you love me, feed my sheep. Peter's the fisherman. Peter's the starter of the church. Is it Pentecost? Who's preaching? Peter. Paul was a tent maker. And tent makers, I'm one of those, tent makers are builders. And what did Paul do but build the church upon the foundation that was started? And Paul went and he went to the Jews and they turned him aside. And he went to the Gentiles and he built the church. He built much of our, didn't build, but he gave us much of our doctrine and truth through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And this was really cool and this is new. I never really picked up on this. But when Jesus came, John was tending the nets. He was fixing the nets. John, who you'll remember, and by the way, this is the other thing I love about, this is what I love about life and faith, is the transformation. Peter was a blowhard, loud, arrogant. He had to mess up, and the Lord had to restore him. Paul was a persecutor of the church and went from the persecutor of the church to the founder and lover of the church. John, we're told, and his brother were the sons of thunder. And when we see them in the scripture, they're always having this dialogue or this fight about who's going to sit at the right hand. And John's transformation goes from Jesus calling him the sons of thunder to how do we know John now? The disciple that Jesus loved. Transformation in all three men. We're about transformation. And transformation only comes to the person of Jesus Christ, which is what much of this letter is about. So I'm excited about that. And so we'll pick up 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may too have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son Jesus Christ, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening to gather in your presence with your people. Father, thank you that you are sovereign and you are good. Thank you, Father, that we have nothing to fear because of even the psalm that we read today before this time in share group and the songs that we've sang. Our trust is in you. You are more than our hiding place. You are a rock. You are a fortress. Father, you created the very planet we live on. There's nothing out of the realm of your influence. And so, Father, we come today gathered as one in your Son, Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that you sent him that we may have perfect relationship with you. And so, Father, as I have relationship with you, I have relationship with my brothers and sisters because of the sacrifice of Christ. And, Father, as we look at this letter, and this letter is really about relationship, we thank you, Father, that you make relationships right. And we look forward, Father, as you continue to strengthen us and mend us and unite us in one. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, John seems a little ADHD at some times, but he tells us several times in this book why he's writing it. One is in this passage, we're writing this that your joy may be complete. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, my little children, I'm writing this to you that you may not sin. Chapter 2, verse 26, he gives us a third reason. I write this to you about those who deceive you. Chapter 5, verse 13, he gives a fourth reason. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He's writing again to build up, to tend, to mend the church. Now, if I were to tell you the setting in when this letter was written, it might sound a little familiar to you, if I could see my little notes. He's writing this in a time in which people do not believe in absolute truth. He's writing this when Christians or believers in God are relativists. He's writing this in a time where theologians aren't certain about who Jesus is. He's writing this where there's new spiritualities beginning daily. He's writing this that one day salvate one idea or one way to God is ludicrous. He's writing this to people that say that idea is backwards, outdated, and doesn't work. And that was in Asia Minor. And that was about 100 AD. And if it sounds familiar to you, I hope it kind of does, because those are the kind of conversations I hear and see daily. Yeah, there's a spirituality, but it can't be that one because that one is not tolerant, or that one has only one way, or whatever the case is, or Christian relativism. We see it. We may not agree with it, but we see it. Theologians who don't know who Jesus is, heavens, we see that. Whether it was a good thing or not, I went to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. I went there at a time there was a Reformation, because before that, the theologians at that seminary were not teaching the true doctrines of the church. They were not teaching what was true and right. John is writing to a generation that looks like us, maybe not so much in the way they look, but definitely in the way they're living lives. This is an old Barna survey, so it's old. 60% of believers don't believe in absolute truth. Now, how you determine believers is a different conversation, but if you just go to someone and say, are you a believer in Jesus or you're a Christian, you get all kind of crazy answers with that one, too. I got relatives that way, too. Yeah, we're Christian, I think. What was Grandpa? Oh, he was Catholic. Oh, yeah, we're Catholic. You didn't know Grandpa because he was Protestant. I do. We used to read the Bible together. Whatever the case is, here is Paul. I'm not Paul. Here is John, the disciple who used to be the guy of thunder and all about who sat at the right hand, who is now the one whom Jesus loved, who is mending the church in Ephesus, who already wrote the book of Revelations warning the church of what's going on. And now he's again giving them some spiritual food, and he's giving us spiritual food today, because the end of this is what? That our joy may be complete. I know, you guys are just visiting with us, you don't know that I'm this new pet horse that I'm on. I know that you guys are getting tired of me, like, getting caught up in our modern Christendom. But man, our modern Christendom was not one many times of joy, it's a fear. Oh, the government's against us. Oh, people don't like us. Stop, we can be complete in joy. I don't care who sits on Pennsylvania Avenue. I really don't. But I'm a weird cat like that. I just had that conversation at work the other day because Addison Davis, this or that. Well, we got a chance to impact kids. We got a chance to impact 600 kids. Let's do it, not care about what he's got to say until he comes and fires us. I wish he would. Be careful what you ask for. Charter school, help me. No. And so we see here that he begins with the preexistence of the Word. Now, if you've ever heard John before, that's a theme he likes, right? John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And so he begins this letter in the same way. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. What was from the beginning? He's speaking of not just the messenger, but the message. One reason why I feel very confident going Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, that I believe this book isn't like other faiths that go, aha, there's a new revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ goes back to the very beginning, a theme that John likes, in the very beginning of Genesis, chapter 3, man falls and what is promised? One who would break the curse. Don't want to, if you've been to church for a long time, you know the answer, and if you don't, guess what? That's Jesus. Jesus is not an afterthought. He's not a second plan. He was always the plan. God desired to create a world in which there would be people and people would fall. That's just what he decided to do. I'm not questioning him. But he knew that he wanted a relationship with people, and there's only one way to be perfect. There's only one way to be perfect, Jesus. He gave him one law, which it just, and I go, this is where I relate with Paul. I relate with all these guys, Paul, John, Peter. I relate with him a lot. Open mouth, insert foot. That's what Peter's name should have been called, not the rock. It should have been foot in thy mouth. I relate to all these guys. Paul says, the law showed me what? Just how wretched I was. We had one, our father and our mother, Adam and Eve, which is so funny because we don't believe in creation, but we believe we all came from one set of people. Our father and our mother had one rule, and it didn't take very long to break that rule. And I tell you that I relate to that, although not anymore, because man, I'm on this new journey of self-control, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit. But man, you ask my parents, whatever the rule was, I wanted to get just as close to it as I could get, and then potentially step over it, and then see if there was any consequences. And if there weren't any consequences, how far can I go next time? If that's not the human experience, I don't know what is. That which we've heard from the beginning. So there is this element in which this has always been the story. It's always been the same. See, what's happening in the church when John is writing to the church is people are coming in going, I've got new revelation. And John's here to tell us the story's not new. It's one of the things I feel really terrible about being a pastor and a teacher of the Word of God, because I don't have anything new to give you. And yet I'm reminded that I'm not called to give you something new. I'm called to give you that which I've heard from the beginning. That which from the beginning we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, we looked upon, touched with our hands concerning the word of life. I'll get more on that from his perspective. But I'll tell you this. I know a lot of times it's the beginning, literally meaning beginning. I believe that. But that from what's the beginning of what? Your journey in faith. Where does your journey in faith begin? It's your experience with this risen Jesus. That's where it begins. And so when someone else comes in and goes, there's Jesus, but? Go, no, from the beginning there was Jesus. That's all I got. We don't like putting all our eggs in one basket, but I'll tell you what, if it's the only basket that works, I'm putting my eggs in it. That sounds silly, but I'm just being honest. Unlike Mark, who wants all the options, I just want the right option. That which we've heard from the beginning, which we've seen with our eyes, looked upon, and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. In other words, John's saying that which the apostles, that which John himself has touched, John himself has felt, smelt, I don't know, it's probably the right word, leaned his head on the chest, the man he saw perform all the miracles, the man he saw pray to God on a regular basis, the man that he saw would put aside anything he needed for the Father's will, the man he saw when Thomas put his fingers in the thing, that which I've heard, I've seen, that is concerning the word of life. I'm a witness of it. And by this, I believe he's saying, anyone comes in trying to say something different, they weren't there. And you and I go, well, I have a problem, we weren't there. And all I can tell you is, Jesus said, blessed is he who did not see. But I am also basing my testimony on eyewitness testimony. I'm not basing my testimony on not eyewitness testimony according to the scripture. The word of life was made manifest, and we've seen it and testify it to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. What he's saying is that how did we enter into eternal life? That which was from the beginning, which is Jesus. That who he entered into relationship. So this begins with, and our church story begins with, and our life stories begin with, relationship with God. That's where it begins, because we're going to move in this text from relationship to fellowship to joy. And so relationship's where it starts. And I've shared this story before, but when our father, Adam, and our mother, Eve, fell, did God want them to hide? Heavens no, he came looking. Did he ask them to cover themselves? Nope. Why'd they cover themselves? They were ashamed. Was he ashamed? Absolutely not. Why are you hiding? As if he did not know. And the story of redemption has always been God chasing or coming after and us responding to him, not the other way around. And he came and he found. And so that which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, that which God revealed to us, God revealed truth in relationship. So I know that I said it earlier already, but we've got this sin nature in us. They want to test the boundaries, and if we get away with things, we just think they're okay. And yet when you have a relationship with the living God of the universe, and you see that he's put boundaries, you don't go, I want to mess with them, because you know that they're good. Because it's a good relationship. And it's not a fear-based submission and obedience. It's a love-based obedience and submission. That which he experienced. This is the disciple that Jesus loved. And I know we're all driven by different things, but I'm telling you right now, I learned to love better and be obedient when I realized I was doing my things out of love than out of duty or out of fear. So I was messing with Kathy earlier today, and because she said she was proud of me. Thank you, Kathy. I don't know what I did, but it was God, maybe. I have no idea. she reminded me of some things. Hey, you remember when you started teaching you didn't like kids? I know. And then I told her, I'm in middle school. No one likes middle schoolers. I do. And so I told her, this is the truth that I told her. She'll tell you. I said, you know, I like elementary teachers and don't like elementary kids because they got snot and they pee and whatever. To my pants, Mr. Cordovi. No, I'm not touching your pants. Middle schoolers, though, they're hard because they're in this weird stage of life in which you think one second they're adults and the next second you realize they're kids and they're doing the dumbest things you've ever seen in your life. And the adults don't like middle school kids because they go, they should know better by now. And I go, oh my gosh, it's a kid who doesn't know better because there's no one teaching him how to do better. And so, I was jokingly said, let Addison Davis come here and fire me. I don't do my job out of fear of Addison Davis or the school board. I do my job because I love middle schoolers. Same thing here, like, I didn't wake up this morning and go, oh man, I got to stay up past my bedtime to go speak at church because if I don't, I might disappoint Mark. If I don't, they might cut the little bit of pay they give me. No, I'm like, I'm coming because I love the Word of God. I love God and I love His people. Relationship. But relationship next leads us to this. That which we've seen, heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So fellowship. I don't know what you know about that word. Like when I Googled it and looked it up, there's fellowship. And like you could get a fellowship at school and join other fellows. That's a funny word to me. A lot of churches are called fellowship. Their nickname down there is Fellowship of Encouragement, or it used to be. I don't know if that's true anymore. First Baptist Brandon used to be the Fellowship of Encouragement, I think. Fellowship, we hear it, but do we really know what that means? And so the first definition, and the one that even the first one when I looked in the Greek, because the word there is koinonia, which is where we get the word church from, actually. The first definition is holding something in common, which sounds about right, holding something in common. That's why when you get a fellowship and you're with fellows, you are commonly studying whatever that thing is that you got the fellowship for. But when I looked at the root word from koinonia, it quite literally means participation. Participation to me is a little step further than just holding something in common. Participation, I mean, means we're united, we're doing something. And so, Ryan, to borrow from you, I'm borrowing from everybody today, so sorry. To borrow from Ryan, we had a leaders meeting at Mark's house, and I think we were asked for favorite movies, and we found out how much of a heathen I am, because Back to the Future was the answer. to this day, my house ends on a dead end, and to this day I go, roads, where we're going, we don't need any roads. I may not always say it out loud, but every time I get in the car, I go, roads? And then I think to myself, can I hit 88 miles an hour and not go to jail? And the answer is no. Ryan said his favorite, I think, film, I don't know, or quote, I have no idea. It was The Fellowship of the, or Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings, or All the Lord of the Rings, or whatever. And at least that's got some biblical overtones. I'll find one for the Back to the Future so I can be holy too, but not today. But when I thought about fellowship, yeah, they hold something in common. I get it, whatever. But I think of this new definition of it. What is their participation? Their participation is to destroy the ring that is the ring of corruption. They're participating in it. They are with Frodo as long as they can be with him to make sure he does what? And certainly Samwise Gamgee goes with him all the way to the end. He is truly a participant in that story. So when I think about that, it starts with a relationship with God, and relationship with God then leads to what? That we too may have participation with one another. Church is more than just gathering and singing songs. It's participation in life. Let me plug Radiant for just a second, because when they were journeying here to kind of see if this would work, they wanted to use that office there because one of their important things is connecting people. And then we went to their website, and there's all these places you can connect with people and participate in life. They do that in a bigger stand than we do. We do it in a smaller way. We do it with these crazy concerts here, and you guys meeting some crazy kids. And we older folks do that by participating, by helping you do that, whether through prayer or finance, whatever the case is. We're supportive. We're participating in each other's lives. I'm so proud of our little assembly. Anytime, I'll just be the first one. I had a need. I had a need for a shoulder surgery when my only job was Christ Community Church. And they wouldn't fix my shoulder until I paid them $4,000. I worked here, and my wife didn't work anywhere. And $4,000 was an impossible dream. And can I tell you how my shoulder got fixed? Dream Church and Christ Community Church. They participated in my life. And I'm not the only one. I am not the only one. Participate, that you too may have fellowship, participate with us. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. Hold on, because it's going to sound like I'm Pentecostal for a second, but there's two truths we need, Spirit and Word. Participate with them, the apostles. Why is that a big deal? They saw, they heard, they touched. I can participate. I have fellowship with the apostles when I read the Word of God. That's why it's better for me than it was Thomas. Thomas saw, but I also participate through John. And James, and Peter, and Paul. Might have missed somebody in there, so too. I participated. I have fellowship with them. How do I have fellowship with the apostles? The way I have fellowship with what? Look here. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not just a relationship, church. It's participation in the Godhead. It is participation in the, oh my gosh. It goes beyond relationship. I am participating with God Himself. That is why we should have no fear when we're sharing the gospel. Why? The Great Commission, which we're all fans of, though I am with you, I am with you even to the end of the earth. It's why the church is called the body of Christ. We are participating in the body. It is why I have gotten myself in trouble for many, 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 many years and will continue to get myself in trouble. The church isn't about me because I'm just a loud blowhard. The church is about all of us because we're participating in the body. I get all the press because I'm the one dumb enough to speak in front of people. And unfortunately, modern church has done this. Well, my pastor, this and that, man. I don't even know how many people even call. You know, the only person who called me pastor was Lawrence Flaws. And every time he said it, he chuckled and I chuckled too. My favorite are the lovers in the church. Man, I could talk all day long, but getting to the nitty-gritty and loving, ooh, that's hard for me. And I mean, I love y'all, but I'm talking about that touchy-feel kind of love, kind of something. Like, I don't know how to do that. A school board member came during the height of COVID. We're all wearing our masks. And she was like, hey, you want a hug? even if it wasn't COVID, ma'am, I'm good. And I did just like that. And she came in. This is a school board member. This shows how crazy I am. I went, I literally put my hand out and thought, oh, no, that's good for my career. We're participating in the body of Christ because of his sacrifice. What did he say? He said, hey, I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you to be. And while you're gone, I'm going to send my Spirit so that you might participate in this ministry. Each and every one of us is a participant. And we got some old folks who may not do as much as the young folks. We got some sick folk that may not do as much as the healthy folk. But we're all participating in this body of Christ. I love the folk that think that they're not participating when the best they can do is pray. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Y'all are the best in the church. We get the share group. And Mark's writing down the prayer request. I'm like, who else is doing that? I know when people are asking, how's this going? And how's that going? And how's this going? And I go, wow, we need you. Keep it up. Keep it up. If there were a rock star in the church, it would be Jesus, and he's very un-rock star-like. In fact, if you'll remember, most of the time he said, stop spreading my name. Like, don't tell people what I did. I don't think he was being false modesty. Why? What did Jesus want to do but give all the glory to his Father? He did the will of his Father, church. Relationship with God leads to participation, but not just participation with God, but participation with one another. This church thing that we call church, institutionalized, whatever, but this entering into the body of Christ, because that's biblical, we call it whatever we want to call it, that is not just that kind of relationship, but now it's this kind of relationship. And relationship that is based in God, that is sustained by God, is so important, because don't we live in a generation in the world where relationships are just cast aside left and right? Left and right. Friendships go by the wayside. Marriages go by the wayside. Even familiar relationships go by the wayside. And yet what John is telling the church then, and he's telling the church now, is that we need to continue with not just the doctrine, that's important, right? He even said that which we heard from the beginning. Don't listen to the new guy coming in. The new guy might tell you experience is great, and experience is great, but it must be coupled with what truth. And there is truth. Don't buy the lie. Don't become relative. Don't believe that the truth is, I don't know, fluid. Relationship with God means participation with God, but participation with his people. And this is crazy, but ready? We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And oftentimes we don't think about this thing called relationship as joyful a lot of times because it's hard work. Because we're blessed with different personalities. And the things I do rub you wrong, and the things you do rub me wrong. But isn't there beauty, especially in the church, when we see all those different things can come together and form the whole body? Some of us in the room have learned early on that God made us to drive people crazy. And we try to conform to other people's images, and it just didn't work. When we should have realized that we're only one image we're to conform to, and that's the image of Christ, because we participate with him. And so, I know, I'm just honest with people. I will probably drive you crazy at some point. But when you know that my goal is to love you, and at church, my goal is to love you, that we may love each other, the world may know that we're his, that we can then do the mission that he's called us to, which is proclaim the gospel, then you put up with some of my oddities, and you have. And the same thing when I go to work, I go, hey, I'm going to rub you the wrong way. And people go, you're insane. Why would you start with that? Just wait till next week when you're in my office and you're crying and going, I can't believe you did that, you insensitive buffoon. And I tried to warn you that I was insensitive. I am working on it, though. The assistant principal is like, the other one, my cat's going to die today. And I was like, I know what my response is, and it would be one of humor, but she's about to cry, and I don't think it's the right one. So for the first of my life, I did the right thing and said, I'm so sorry, and I ran away. And I was looking for somebody with empathy. I was like, this person needs empathy. I'm not empathetic to that cat. But our joy may be complete. And how can our joy be complete in relationship with one another? Because God desires for us to have relationship with one another and participate with one another. And what does God say? When are we joyful? When we do what he's told us to do. I can have joy? I don't know about you, but most of the news and most of the world is telling us to be afraid and to be against each other. I'm here to tell you that if you're in Christ Jesus, you have fellowship with God, you have fellowship with brothers and sisters, and that leads to joy. And I'm choosing joy 9 out of 10 times. If you're like me, and some of you are, there's only 2 emotions I got. Really, really happy and really, really sad. I'm either going to cry or I'm going to laugh. That's it. I don't have a middle. She'll tell you I ain't lying. No middle. Here or I'm here. But I'm so glad that there's a way to have joy and it would be complete. And so it's funny because this is, you know, work, it's hard sometimes because kids cuss at you and then parents cuss at you and then and then you're just like, wow, I didn't even know that my name was a curse word, but apparently it is. And you get frustrated, and I'll never forget, he's gone now, but I still call him all the time. I go run up to Dr. Brown and go, I'm choosing joy. And we can. We can, though, because we have a relationship with God and have a relationship with each other. And I feel like when that's out of balance, joy's out of balance. It's not easy, I know, church. Especially when we try some crazy things like we try around here. And yet, I'm here to tell you that I'm grateful to participate in this fellowship with you because we're participating in the fellowship of the Father and the Son, and there's nothing better we can do. So this week, I don't know what's going to face your way. Know that we're participating with you through prayer, through support, and that we want you to have your joy complete in the relationship you have with the Father and the Son and with each other. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you so much for this morning and the morning. God, dog it. Thank you, Father, for this evening and for this time I got to be with my brothers and sisters. Father, that's so silly because I just figured out that I get caught up in routine and rut. And this time together is not routine and it's not rut. This is a time for us to see each other, to love each other, to share truth with another. Thank you, Father, there is absolute truth, and it is found in your word and your Son. Thank you, Father, that we have the truth of the word and the Spirit. And Father, thank you that we are called to live by Spirit and truth. And Father, may we stand against any lies that are spoken about you. May we love one another as we are transformed into the renewing of our mind by the preaching of your word. Thank you, Father, that you've given us a relationship with you. Thank you, Father, that we participate in the life of your Son, Jesus, because without participating in the life of Jesus, we deserve death. And because we participate in his death, his burial, his resurrection, we now have new life. Father, thank you that we get to participate in the lives of our brothers and sisters. May we encourage one another, build each other up as you continue to conform us to the image of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.